Son, never stop learning.
I'm Polly, Chicago civics teacher, former community organizer. I spend my days asking students who gets left out of the official story.
Natasha, systems engineering, Boston. I ask what the system actually does under stress, not what it claims to do.
Do we teach the Cold War as a clash of ideologies, democracy versus communism, or as a power competition that used ideology as cover?
I'll take the second framing. Incentive systems, not slogans, drove the decisions.
And I'll push back on that. Incentive systems is a very clean label for choices that cost specific peoples their self-determination.
Fair. But clean labels can still be accurate.
Start with Yalta, 1945. Stalin, Roosevelt, Churchill redrew Poland's borders. Not one Polish representative in the room.
Correct. Free states with armies made decisions. That is a structural outcome, not an ideological one.
But the justification offered to the public was democratic liberation. That gap between rhetoric and reality is exactly what students need to see.
Agreed on the gap. I just want students to understand the mechanism, military position, supply lines, leverage, not only the moral failure.
Why not both? Because we have one slot. And if you lead with mechanism, you risk students leaving without asking who paid the price.
And if you lead with moral injury, students leave without understanding why the mechanism repeated itself in every subsequent crisis.
Then let's test it. Churchill's Iron Curtain speech, 1946, Fulton, Missouri. A small college, not a diplomatic summit.
Interesting venue choice.
It reframed all of Eastern Europe as a single lost bloc. No room for pluralism, no room for local political variation. Binary from day one.
The binary was already there. Soviet troop positions enforced it before Churchill named it.
Naming it publicly closed off the possibility of negotiating anything different. That speech ended the hope for a pluralistic post-war Europe.
Or it described a door that was already shut. You are treating the speech as a cause. I see it as a symptom.
Who decided Eastern Europeans couldn't choose their own path?
Both superpowers decided, simultaneously. That is the structural point.
Now the Marshall Plan, $13.3 billion to Western Europe. Sounds generous.
It was also a loyalty test. Recipients had to adopt US-style economic policies to qualify.
Exactly. Aid with conditions attached is not neutral. It shapes what governments can do, who they answer to.
True. But the alternative, no aid, Soviet expansion, was also a constraint. States chose the lesser bind.
Lesser bind. That framing erases the populations inside those countries who wanted neither superpowers' terms.
That is a real cost. I do not dispute it. I dispute whether naming it ideological bad faith tells students what produced it.
And I dispute whether structural incentives tell students who bore the weight of those incentives. Containment doctrine had a human cost.
Name the mechanism, then name the cost, in that order. Otherwise, students feel the injustice but cannot explain why it kept happening.
Name the cost first. Otherwise, students understand the machine but never ask whether it should have been built at all.
That is a values question. Fine. But the curriculum slot is about historical explanation, not moral verdict.
Historical explanation that omits whose self-determination was sacrificed is not neutral. It is a choice that benefits the powers who made those decisions.
And the framing built on moral injury, with no failure condition, cannot tell students when the pattern would have changed. That is my objection.
My framing survives your objection because it asks students to identify who was excluded, and that question has a verifiable answer at every stage of the Cold War.
Mine survives yours because it explains why exclusion was stable for 40 years. Moral framing alone does not answer that. Next lecture, we test both against the crisis,